The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday, 13 September 2016. Continuing. But make no mistake, Jones is not the only alternative media personality that's helping the enemy. There are many. Jeff Rentz, InfoWars, and others consistently change headline stories posted on their sites as to exaggerate them and make them more frightful. This is a fear-mongering technique that aids learned helplessness. Sometimes the exaggerated headlines themselves are completely incorrect or written out of context from the original story. This is the same sensationalism, guess what, employed by the mainstream media. Now, perhaps it would be better for alternative media junkies to put down their keyboards and get out and try to make some real change. And instead of letting the plethora of evil and conspiracies overwhelm you, find one thing to tackle and focus on until you feel satisfied that you've done all that you can do. Scattered attention accomplishes very little, and overexposing oneself to outrageous things weaken resolve, problem solving, and your very will to resist it. Don't fret it. Defeating lies and evil doesn't come through revolutions or giant leaps, but in small steps and through change within. Truth and justice are personified, say, in Jesus Christ. That was the author of this story. I took Jeff Rentz on to, I took him on about the issue of UFOs. I said, why do you do this? Well, this is what he used to do. This is when he was real popular and was on hundreds of radio stations around the country. That it was this kind of coast-to-coast, overnight, kind of mystery, Babylon, UFO, New World Order, plethora of stuff. That in my mind, diminishes the message. You know, when I went to this thing in Austin Sunday, I watched Christopher Bolin roll, and I can understand why the guy is being threatened. He's now in Sweden. Because it isn't the mystery. It isn't the JFK assassinations. Oh, it was the grassy knoll. How many shots were fired? You know, this, that, and the other. No. He went through the entire process as to who was involved and why. And guess what? This is why he was waylaid since his feet hit the ground here in the States at every event that he went to. Unlike David Icke, you do not see the Zionists out there claiming anti-Semitism at a David Icke conference. But I witnessed it right here in Austin, Texas. Cramming us into a room, shaving down the time. I saw this man go into the 9/11 conspiracy in an hour in a PowerPoint presentation that blew anything that I've ever seen away. Why? Because we didn't get into the, well, there was thermite up here, and there was this, and there was that, and the building, the blah, blah, blah. It was who was involved, Who were the people that were involved? And why was it done? You already know the answer as to the why. But everybody's involved in the how. We know what 9/11 brought in. The destruction of your rights in this country, folks. For the government to claim for national security that we got to ferret out everything. We got to look at everything. We're in real danger here. And look at the Patriot Act and all the insane things that has come about because of this threat to America. You've heard me speak about Ron Paul with all the notoriety he got. Not a whole lot of traction the first time around. His first run for POTUS here in Texas, people didn't even know who the hell Ron Paul was. Well, he's a congressman from Texas. He is? Well, by the second go-around, this is when the guys started picking up steam. Started going to universities and pulling Trump-like crowds in. People got it. They understood it. He was talking about the control. But he didn't want to be the man in the hot seat. He did not want the presidency. Okay, I can get that. Some people are geared. In my mind, real heroes put their asses on the line. You want to shoot at it? It's not going to stop me from saying what I got to say. Go ahead and shoot. It's not going to be my sin. It's going to be yours. He did not want the presidency. He wanted a bully pulpit, and he pulled it off. Did it change anything? Who did we get in 2008? Who did we get in 2012? And instead of taking that influence and that awakening and saying, okay, you know, there's not a whole hell of a lot we can do at the federal end from the top down, but let's organize within our states. He had the means and the opportunity to do so, to start a movement in this country in every state of the union, to start going after their state legislatures in which that is your backyard. In the grander scheme of things, that's your backyard. Why wasn't it done? I don't have the notoriety. I don't have the power to do that. Ron Paul did, but he chose not to. And for that, and I will say, balanced against all the money that was taken in, all the time and the effort that the people put in over an 8-year period to try to get this guy elected. Damn it, Ron, you owe the people. You owed them that much. He knew what the Constitution was. He knew this was not a legislative democracy. This message could have been carried to groups and organizations within every state of the union. Here's a wake-up call, state legislature. There's tens of thousands of beating on your door. The hell with you and your legislative democracy. The hell with you and your administrative state. The hell with you and your control, your Fed Reserve. The hell with you. Didn't happen. An opportunity unlike I have not seen was wasted. And don't you think for a minute that Ron Paul didn't recognize the opportunity. He did. But he did nothing. He knew the difference between a Republican and a democracy. He knew the difference between an honest money system. He had seen the destruction. He was sitting on the banking committee in Washington, D.C. He saw the destruction that the Federal Reserve has done to this country. But why didn't he take this to the states? I am only one man. I've been trying my level best. Now, Now, some people think I sour grape when I talk about Alex Jones. I am not sour graping. What did I say yesterday? I hope this guy gets his head out of the dark, dank place he's got it parked in and starts to use some of that wealth for somebody other than himself. And in my estimation, that $500,000 money bomb, he used that as an excuse to build new studios and whatever else. Well, part and parcel of that, I'm sure, was siphoned off to pay the divorce. And I've got to say one thing, and this is what I've heard back from people that were familiar with Alex Jones, that when Violet was there, boy, InfoWars ran like a clock. Didn't miss a tick, picked up every dime and every dollar. And after, what, 9-10 years of marriage, she managed to walk away with $4 million. The palatial $1 million palace in a gated community here in Austin. Well, he's now living near the river down there in Austin in an apartment. I was on with Ron McDonald yesterday. I said, you know, Ron, what do you think I could have done? Not with all the $8 million. I don't need a $1 million house. And, you know, quite frankly, I didn't need $8 million. But what could I do with $4 million? A lot of people misunderstood when I went after Dave Hodges. It was through his stupidity and through his inability to fact check. In other words, to call me. Because you know what, folks? That was the way to fund this network until it was either wiped off the face of the earth or I died and it didn't pass into somebody else's hands. To wit, big time radio. Ooh, big time satellite. We had a guy, Erskine. You know what was nice about Erskine? He would always bring up authors to books, thereby deflecting the responsibility back to the writer. He could get away with talking a lot about a lot of stuff on a lot of radio stations. When he came to this network, he had 26 stations. I went out and sought one of the most accomplished people that had been doing it for affiliate relations for 3 decades. And I asked him, I said, don't blow sunshine at me. Because I am not in a mood for blowing smoke or anything else. Realistically, how many stations can you get for this guy? Minimal 70, maybe 100. Do you know what an advertising contract for a network that goes out to 70 or 100 radio stations would be worth to this network? Network gets, in some cases, they only get 3 network spots. And the radio stations call those local avails and they take the rest. You take your 3 or 4 biggest accounts and you rotate them in there. They get results. They sign up. They keep the money flowing. But Mr. Hodges, through his inability to pick up a phone and ask me what the hell was going on, he lived out there in Phoenix, Arizona, near Erskine, 15 minutes away from him. Called him up and said, well, that's it. Republic's dead. Satellites are down. No. I sacrificed the analog bird to keep the main bird up, the commercial bird that every radio station in this country had a box for. And the reason why they liked Erskine's, whether they're a program director, manager, or owner of a radio station, he was like Forrest Gump sitting on the park bench proclaiming, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And he could always interview an author to a book. Those were his opinions. But he would allow those opinions and that writing to go through the airwaves. And the radio stations didn't have a problem with it. Do you think Dr. Bill Deagle can be on radio stations? Do you think Michael Rivero can be on more radio stations? Well, maybe, maybe not in today's environment. But we would have had 70 or 100 radio stations. That satellite bill would have been paid. The network bills would have been paid. But through somebody's stupidity, they blew it right out from under me. Stuff happens. People make mistakes. I get it. But if you're going to be claiming to know what the hell's going on, and you've got the unmitigated gall to get on the airwaves to proclaim yourself to be some kind of seer or at least a talk show host worth listening to, don't you think you could do a little fact-finding? I would think that you would. But he didn't. Now, money buys a lot. It buys a ton. Influence? Man. Funny money bought the smart guys. You know the difference here between the socialist, Marxist socialist, and the Fabian socialist? The Marxists and socialists went after the working class or the poor. The Fabian socialist said, "You guys got it all wrong. We got to go to the prominent and the well-to-do, the influential. We'll work that angle from the top down, and let's just see what influence can really buy." And it bought a lot. It bought this media in this country. It's bought academia. It's bought control of this entire country. And I'm sorry for asking the question here, but who in the hell is behind the international banking? Oh, I'm sorry. Must be the same people that run Hollywood. It must be the Arabs. Real feather in his cap when Hillary Clinton mentioned him by name. Well, I think that even Sean Hannity, the spokesperson of the gatekeeper, was more of a threat to Hillary Clinton than Alex Jones ever thought about being. Because he didn't want Hillary in the White House. And he's been banging on her for months and months and months and months, as well as other supposed conservative talk show hosts. "Well, I'm not going to vote for Trump." "Well, okay, I'm going to vote for Trump." You know what? If I can go back to prior to 2008 when we had a few lousy jobs and we were still in that matrix, people were still eating and housing themselves. Now we got tent cities on this country that the media will never cover. But every metropolitan area in this country realizes what this economy has done. It's decimated us. So did you want Donald Trump to get up there in one of his speeches and say, "You know what, when I become president, I'm going to do away with the Federal Reserve"? They probably would have shot him on the spot. Kennedy knew. He waited till he got into office. So how can a man that has been part of that system be anything but beholding? I don't know, but I can guarantee you this much. He'll slow their little wheels down long enough. And the real solution to this problem is one of education, but it's also one of organizations. How many times have you heard me on this program going, "Okay, why the hell don't you people organize? Why aren't you kicking down the doors of your state legislatures? Why are you not taking the energy that you could garner as a group, settle on so many points, and this is going to be our mission, and we're going to cram it right up their wazoo?" And if they don't, guess what? They will not be in that seat. We'll rip them out of that seat so fast they'll leave their shoes sitting on the floor. Instead, we're sucking at the teat of this legislative democracy. And we have gone through extensive, step-by-step pains on this network to explain exactly in what year, what time, what action was taken to bring us to this moment in time in this country. I didn't do this because it made me feel better. I did it because it was necessary. A little bit of education is bad as being a little bit pregnant. When we get back, I'll take some phone calls, 512-716-1603, 1883, or 1897. By the way, we're working on the phones. We think we have a solution to make the VoIP system work. Thank you, Tom, in Pennsylvania. You've come to our rescue again. God bless you.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
To me, it's very, very clear what's happening here. You know, people said to me, oh, you're just jealous of Alex Jones because he's so successful. No. I saw what he did to this network back in 2007. Do you actually believe that he did that because he was afraid of competition? Or was he carrying out an order? And I've said this repeatedly, and I'll say it again. If I had half of that divorce settlement, if I had $4 million, where do you think this network would be right now? Supporting the whole cast of characters we have on this network. Not for the individual, not for me. For you. There comes a time in radio that you become a player. And we were damn near there. Did I quit? My dreams busted? I gave it a good try. I'm done. I'm out of here. No, because I've been on this mission for a lot of years, and I'm going to stay true to that mission. Priceless. How the Federal Reserve bought the economics profession. And you're going to be astounded where this was actually posted. Ryan Grimm, the Washington Bureau Chief of the Huffington Post, of all places, talking about the Federal Reserve through its extensive network of consultants, visiting scholars, alumni, and staff economists, so thoroughly dominates the field of economics that real criticism of the central banking has become a career liability for members of the profession. They actually did a little investigation into this at the Huffington Post. I kid you not. The dominance helps explain how, even after the Fed failed to foresee the greatest economic collapse since the Great Depression, the central bank has largely escaped criticism from academic economists. In the Fed's thrall, the economists missed it too. Did they really miss it? They were the problem. The Fed has a lock on the economics world, says Joshua Rosner, a Wall Street analyst who correctly called the meltdown. There is no room for other views, which I guess is why economists got it so wrong. One critical way the Fed experts control the on academic economists is through the relationships with the field's gatekeepers. For instance, at the Journal of Monetary Economics, a must-publish venue for rising economists, more than half of the editorial board members are currently on the Fed payroll, and the rest of them have been in the past. The Fed failed to see the housing bubble as it happened, insisting that the rise in housing prices was normal. Oh, yeah, it's just normal. Economy's been going great. Hey, it's a boom. Prices, things are going up. No, the reason why they did, folks, is because of the middleman. It was the people involved with gaming, with scamming us. The Fed failed to see the housing bubble as it happened, insisting. Hold on here. This is not cooperating with me. Let me get back to my spot. They insisted that the rise in housing prices was normal in 2004 after flipping had become a term cops and janitors were using to describe the way to get rich in real estate. Then Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said that a national severe price distortion is unlikely. A year later, current Chairman Ben Bernanke said that the boom largely reflected a strong economic fundamental. The Fed also failed to sufficiently regulate major financial institutions. That's because they did away with Glass-Steagall, allowing commercial banks to get into speculative markets. That was just an accident. And the Fed failed to sufficiently regulate major financial institutions with the Greenspan? That's like asking the fox to guard the hen house. And the dominant economist at the time, believing that the banks would regulate themselves in their own self-interest, their only interest was making money, being the middleman, making their interest. Despite all this, Bernanke has been nominated for a second term by President Obama. You can tell that this is an older article because Janet Yellen is in charge of what? In the field of economics, the chairman remains a much heralded figure, lauded for reaction to a crisis generated in the first place by the Fed itself. Congress is even considering legislation to greatly expand the powers of the Fed to systematically regulate the financial industry. Well, let's give them total control over everything. You know, let's stop bribing and sending special interest and all that. No. Let's just buy it stock, lock, stock, and barrel. Again, the Fed has been dominating the profession for about three decades. For the economics profession that came out of the Second World War, the Fed Reserve was not a very important place as far as they were concerned, and their views on monetary policy were not framed by a working relationship with the Fed Reserve, so I would date it to maybe the mid-70s.
says University of Texas economics professor and Fed critic James Galbraith. Which, by the way, what closed in 1971 and who closed it? Tricky Dick.
I am not a crook.
Yes, you were. You allowed the rape of this country. Galbraith says the generation that I grew up under, which included both Milton Friedman on the right and Jim Tobin on the left, were independent of the Fed. They sent students to the Fed, and they were influenced by the Fed, but there wasn't a culture of consulting, and it wasn't the same vast network of professional economists working there. Now bear with me, because this will demonstrate how the system works, how it's maintained, how it's fostered, how it's supported, how the continuum, how this carries on. But by 1993, when former Fed Chairman Greenspan provided the House Banking Committee with a breakdown of the number of economists on contract or employed by the Fed, he reported that 189 worked for the board itself and another 171 for the various regional banks. Adding in statisticians, support staff, and quote-unquote officers, who are generally also economists, the total number came to about 730. And then there were the contracts. Over a three-year period ending in October of 1994, the Fed awarded 305 contracts to 209 professors worth a total of $3 million. They bought them. And just how dominant is the Fed today? The Fed's Reserve Board of Governors employs 220 Ph.D. economists and a host of researchers and support staff. The 12 regional banks employ scores more. The Huffington Post placed calls on them but was unable to get exact numbers. The Fed also doles out millions of dollars in contracts to economists for consulting assignments, papers, presentations, workshops, and that plum gig known as visiting scholarship. A Fed spokesman says that exact figure for the number of economists contracted weren't available, but she says the Federal Reserve spent $389 million in 2008 alone on monetary and economic policy. Yeah, that's right. The same damn year that the Fed crashed this economy. And money spent on analysis, research, data gathering, studies on market structure? In 2009, after the collapse took place, they spent $433 million. They bought the mouthpieces. Bought them outright. That's a lot of money for a relatively small number of economists. But you know what? These are the ones that are pushed forward. These are the ones that got on the media. These are the ones who are up there saying, oh, yeah, okay, we just need to bail out here and we'll recover. And don't anybody worry. In the meantime, like clockwork, that debt is going up and up and up. And then you include the middleman's interest, oh, buddy, then it starts to really cook. There's a lot of money for a relatively small number of economists, according to the American Economic Association. A total of 487 economists list monetary policy, central banking, and the supply of money and credit as either their primary or secondary specialty. 310 of them list money and interest rates. 244 list macroeconomic policy formation and aspects of public finance and general policy. The National Association of Business Economists tells the Huffington Post that 611 of its roughly 2,400 members are part of their financial roundtable. The closest way that they can approximate a focus on monetary policy and central banking. Robert Auerbach, a former investigator of the House Banking Committee, spent years looking into the workings of the Fed and published much of what he found in a 2008 book, Deception, Abuse at the Fed. A chapter in that book provided the impetus for that investigation. Now, Auerbach found that in 1992, roughly 968 members of the AEA designated domestic monetary and financial theory and institutions as their primary field. They're the slicky boys. They're the ones that they bought. These are the ones with the PhDs that are revered, folks. These are the ones that people turn to because they didn't understand the money system. So they turn to the experts that are being paid by the very Fed that destroyed the economy. Whoa. Now, combining his numbers with the current ones from the AEA and the NABA, it's fair to conclude that there was something like 1,000 to maybe as many as 1,500 monetary economists working across the country. Adding up the 220 economist jobs at the Board of Governors, along with regional bank hires and contracted economists, and the Fed employees or contracts with easily 500 economists at any given time. Add in those who have previously worked for the Fed, or who hope to one day soon, and you've accounted for a very significant majority of the field. Now, Auerbach concluded that the problems associated with the Fed's employing or contracting with large numbers of economists arise when these economists testify as witnesses at legislative hearings or as experts at judicial proceedings, and when they publish their research and the views of the Fed policies, including in Fed publications. Now, you got to keep the gatekeepers on the payroll. The Fed keeps many of their influential editors of prominent academic journals on its payroll. It is common for a journal editor to review submissions dealing with the Fed policy while also taking the bank's money. A Huffington Post review of seven top journals found that 84 of the 190 editorial board members were affiliated with the Fed Reserve in one way or the other. And you know what you never do, folks? You never bite the hand that feeds you. Somebody that's trying to slide a stash of cash across the table, they don't go, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, they rake it in. They know who their boss is. Try to publish an article critical of the Fed with an editor who works for the Fed, said Galbraith, and the journals, in turn, determine which economists get tenure and what ideas are considered respectable. And again, let me remind you, who's controlling the money? Who is the Fed? Who are the international bankers? Yeah, it's just a coincidence. It must be the Arabs. The pharmaceutical industry has similarly worked to control key medical journals. But that involves several companies. In the field of economics, it's just one. This is the private corporation known as the Federal Reserve. Being on the Fed payroll isn't just about money either. A relationship with the Fed carries prestige, invitations to Fed conferences, and offers of visiting scholarships with Bank Signal, a rising star, or economist, who has arrived. Affiliations with the Fed have become the oxygen of academic life for monetary economists. It's very important. If you are tenure track and don't have tenure to show that you are valued by the Federal Reserve, says Jane D'Arista, a Fed critic and an economist with the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Robert King, editor-in-chief of the Journal of Monetary Economics and a visiting scholar at the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank, dismisses the notion that his journal is influenced by the Fed connections. I think that the suggestion is a silly one, based on my own experience at least. He wrote that in an email. Galbraith, a Fed critic, has seen the Fed's influence on academia firsthand. He and co-authors Oliver Giovannoni and Anne Russo found that in the year before a presidential election, there is a significantly tighter monetary policy coming from the Fed if a Democrat is in office and a significantly looser policy if a Republican is in office. The effects are both statistically significant, allowing for controls and economic importance. They submitted a paper with their findings to the Review of Economics and Statistics in 2008, but the paper was rejected. The editor assigned to it turned out to be a fellow at the Fed, and that was after I requested that it not be assigned to somebody affiliated with the Fed, according to Galbraith. Publishing in top journals is like any discipline. The key to getting tenure, indeed pursuing tenure, ironically requires a kind of fealty to the dominant economic ideology that is the precise opposite of the purpose of the tenure in the first place, which is to protect academics who present oppositional perspectives. And while most economic, let me damn computer. Hold on here, folks. Should have put this on hard copy. Yes. Reading once again on paper. Ooh. Even and while most academic disciplines and top-tier journals are controlled by some defining paradigm, in an academic field like poetry, that situation can do no harm other than to, perhaps, a forest of trees. Economics, unfortunately, collides with reality, as it did with the Fed's incorrect reading of the housing bubble and the failure to regulate financial institutions. They didn't fail. They enabled it. They were the enablers. Neither was a matter of incompetence, but both resulted from the Fed's unchallenged assumptions about the way the market worked. Even the late Milton Friedman, whose monetary policy theories heavily influenced Greenspan, remember at one time, Alan Greenspan was a gold bug. That's before he became Fed chairman. Let me take a call here. Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, John, I'll be brief. I have a quick addendum to my call last night in the first hour.
This is going to be confusing, Frank.
Yeah.
I don't want to revisit yesterday's program because I'm on a topic that if you've got comment on that, I'll take it.
Well, it's kind of related to that, the bankers. And people can easily go back if they missed the show last night. They can go back very easily. You've made it very convenient to go back and listen to your archives. But with regard to David Icke and his disappointment in the alt-right media, and you could tell who he was talking about, and I'm just going to say it. I mean, it's my opinion, but I've been following this stuff long enough to know he was, I think, predominantly talking about Alex Jones. And I forgot to mention, he specifically pointed out that his issue, his problem with the people that he has a problem with, was that they've let the Zionists off the hook. And I forgot to make that very important point last night. And I think it's very obvious who he was talking about.
So. Well, and is Alex Jones any smarter than I? Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Well, the question I have is, how in God's green earth, when you're pushing an unpopular message, do you amass a $1.3 million house? How in a short span of time do you have $8 million? When I have people that are chasing around and they have gone to advertisers and going, you know, you don't want to, these guys are anti-Semitic, you don't want to advertise with them. And my point, Frank, that I think I brought forward is that I am not going to sacrifice what I believe to be the source of the problem for the convenience of not ruffling any feathers or making a few more dollars.
Well, I don't expect anybody to, but there's a sucker born every minute. There's always people, you know, being born and being quote unquote awakened that are going to go fall into that, down that rabbit hole with Alex Jones and InfoWars. But if you listen, if you do listen to him at all, I mean, I heard him today basically say that he's sold out. I heard him say it.
Really?
He said, look, oh yeah. If you listen very carefully to what he says, he said, look, nobody can be perfect. Nobody can be honest. Nobody can have complete integrity all the time. Sometimes in order to live in this world and to function, you have to sell out. He said that today on his show.
Well,
that's exactly what he did.
Hallelujah. That must have been the cleansing moment for Alex Jones.
If anybody wants to go listen to it, it's when he's talking about his sponsors and the sponsors of Genesis Communications. He says he knows some of the sponsors are really not legitimate, and he doesn't approve of them. So anybody wants to go back and listen to it, it's there.
So he deflects it and puts it on his parent network for the actions that he himself has taken. Listen to me, Frank. At one point in time, somebody went and did the investigation and went to the advertisers that were currently advertising directly with Alex Jones. 34 of them were Jewish-owned. 34. Now, either I missed something, and I must have did a Rip Van Winkle for 100 years, but I don't think that there's other businesses out there that were owned by other people, but he seemed to be a magnet for them because he never went to the heart of the problem. He would bring up people like Jason Burmes telling people, hey, look, you know, you people are wing nuts out there. Why don't you just take a toaster, take a bath and take a toaster and toss it in the tub? Go kill yourself.
Well, if he hasn't already, I would say the man to actually take a big yellow highlighter out and highlight that and clip that audio out, play it on his broadcast would probably be Robert Rabel.
Well, I'm sure Robert, he's not a big fan of Alex. And I've stayed away from this for a very long time. And I've absorbed the punches that this man has thrown. And people to this day believe that I'm deflecting and I'm sour graping. You know, Alex really didn't destroy Republic Broadcasting Network. Yes, he did. The only question is who ordered him to do it? Because there was no percentage. There was nothing really a real advantage of smashing this network. And as I've said repeatedly, all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that a lot of people that listen to his show don't really have, but would donate by the hundreds of thousands of dollars to get Alex up there, to get him a brand new studio, to make him more effective. Has he been more effective? No, he's on a downhill slide because his audience is starting to figure out that, wait a minute, this is not going anywhere. And my question was, what the hell could I do with $4 million, buddy boy? I'm telling you, they'd have to kill me. They really would. And he repeatedly says, oh, he's threatened all the time. By whom? Listen, Frank, hold on. I'll let you talk. I have done this network to support a platform for other voices. And I've said repeatedly that if I find somebody that does a hell of a lot better than me, that can't do anything but this 6 to 8 time slot, I will give it up. Because this is not about me. This is not about recognition of me. And I'm probably going to slide off this mortal coil pretty much bone broke. But I don't care. Because the thing I care about is not the luxury that I can paste under my own butt. I care about the direction of this country, and I care about its continuation, and I care about freedom and liberty. And I've said this, and I will repeat it again in case somebody missed it. The only time that I had an overt threat directed directly at me was during those anthrax mailers out of Fort Detrick. That's where they originated from. And I got one postmarked San Francisco postmarked envelope with a single piece of paper, handwritten, that says, we're going to get you, you effer. And they put some powder in there just to have a little giddy ha-ha. That is the most direct threat, because they have done the psych profile, Frank. They know that I can't be bought. They know that I cannot be intimidated. They know I will not stop. But at some point in time, they will have to.
Well, I give you credit. I don't think Alex Jones is any smarter than you are. I think you have more integrity than he does, and I think that's why he's more successful. I think he has sold out along the way. And, you know, of all people, Michael Savage basically stated on Alex Jones' show today. I turned it on, and Michael Savage was on there. And I listened to him for about six, 8 months. Period. Back before I ever heard Alex Jones, back in 2005, and he basically said that Alex Jones is the field marshal. He is the field marshal on the field in our time of truth, justice, the American way, and all things righteous and holy.
Don't you see?
I mean, what does that tell you about Alex Jones?
I was just going to say, don't you see something intrinsically wrong with that? One
serving
man,
their interest. Alex Jones, okay, in his own way, in the context of what he's doing, he does put out a lot of truth, but he's serving the interest of them.
That is understood. And I am not going to have enough time today, and I probably will not, but the CIA connections around him, Stratfor, all of this, the piece of eye candy that was put in front of him that caused his divorce. never talks about it. The integrity of the man that screws around on his wife. You know, I take these vows seriously. Till death do us part. And I value loyalty above all else. Well, he sold that out. What else did he sell out? But the Jewish American princess walked away with $4 million. Not a bad payday. She got the mansion. She got $3.1 million aside from that. She's sitting pretty good. She served her time, ran the business, ran the InfoWars store. As I said, wouldn't miss a dime, wouldn't miss a dollar, was there to collect it all.
Well, he's learned to play the game well, but, you know, you had a guest or a caller on, and I was unfamiliar with the caller, but you had a caller on about a year or two ago, and he basically said he used to work out in the same gym as Alex Jones. He used to work out with him, and Alex Jones, in his very earliest days, back before he really, really, you know, made it big, hit it national and everything, he basically said, you know, his ultimate goal was to become famous and go to Hollywood and be in movies.
I talked to the very same man.
Well, I heard him on your show. I've never heard him anywhere else.
Yeah. And the guy volunteered this after he saw what Alex did to this network back in 07.
Well, that's perfectly congruent with the Alex Jones that I've come to know over the past 11 years. It makes perfect sense.
Well, and again, you know, I've always given him the benefit of the doubt, but I've also told him that, and I've told him to his face, and I've said this on air, if I find out you were the gatekeeper and you were being in there with the CIA or the Fed in some way or manner, you're going to see my face, and I'll be the last face you ever see. I had to be done away with. I was in direct competition to my old network. I had to be done away with. Do you realize how many, and thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate it. Do you realize how many hosts that have come through this network with the amount of information has been dispersed in just this venue in the last 13-plus years? Enormous. And that was the plan. Disseminate as much information to the people as humanly possible. But every time we'd start to make that meteoric climb, boom, something would happen. We'd get knocked down. Boom, we'd climb again. Would get knocked down. And quite frankly, folks, for a while there, I was getting more comfortable on my backside than I was standing on my own feet. I thought this may be where I was supposed to be. You'll have to kill me to stop me. Or we lose the venue of Republic Broadcasting. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again. I've made a deal with this listening audience. Support us. We'll see what happens in 2017, but there's some very small incremental steps that are being done. And some people that are on this network, I don't want to go there. There were financial agreements that were broken. And it totaled up one-fifth of the budget of this network. One deal. One individual. One-fifth of the budget of the network. When we can find the advertisers, as I stated at the beginning of this broadcast today, I've got a character used to work for Genesis going out there trying to undermine and undercut and take them. Why? Is it out of stupidity or is it something else? I don't know. But the end result is the same. Is that a call for air? No? Okay. So I'm going to hold to my, you know, folks, I know you've seen greater and lesser than myself. But I swear to you, and I can, the politicians that I was talking to that didn't know me from Shinola, without me salting the conversation, told me in the political circles they believe that Hillary Clinton gets in and she's president of the United States in 2017, there will be an armed revolution in this country, which I believe is exactly where they want us. Gunfire and blood in the streets. Boy, what a good way to shut down the opposition under national security reasons. Look at these wingnut terrorists out here. Terrorist? I just want my freaking country back. I want the rule of law back. I want liberty and freedom and be able to take a breath of air without restraint or looking over my shoulder to see who's watching me breathe. I'm going to ask you folks to do this, and you can call this number. And I'll tell you where we're at with the network right now. I've got to come up with another $2,700 to retire the back bills on the internet so we can enter into that new contract of paying only $595 a month for the internet streams that provide everything on this network. And then I've got to work on Impact Telecom, and that bill is about 10 grand. But we've made some headway here with Vonage. Nobody in Vonage, including management, knew what to do. So here comes Tom from Pennsylvania. He says, wait a minute. I know voiceover IP. Who do I talk to over there? He's located the boxes. He's come up with a fix for our problem here. When the technicians and management at Vonage didn't know what to do. They had, where do you think we're getting the equipment to make the interface between the VoIP and the analog systems? It comes from Vonage themselves. They couldn't figure it out. Much to the chagrin of some of our talk show hosts, they didn't like repeating three numbers. So, folks, I'm going to go through hell or high water. I will do whatever I have to do to keep this thing going, but damn it, we need your support, and we need it now. I've been asked not to tell this story, but I will. We had $1,850 in the bank when they told us, hey, we're going to shut you off in 24 hours if you don't pay the entire bill. Well, one of the individuals was connected with this thing Sunday, and I will not use your name, said, well, hey, I'll give you $1,000. I threw $3,000 at him, and they gave me a timetable. Well, by the end of the month, you got to have this paid off, or you're cut off, and your new contract does not take effect. The full amount, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's just the internet. That has nothing to do with paying the bills or payroll or the rent or the lights or anything else. And it sure as hell ain't going to buy me a cheese sandwich. That's just for the network. I am asking no more. I'm not asking for a $500,000 money bomb. We have been effective. We have affected a lot of people. There have been a lot of talk show hosts that have come through here that were just absolutely amazing. 800-691-7898. Hit extension 3. Talk to Mike. Or go to the website republicbroadcasting.org. Do it on PayPal. The address is also up there on that very same page if you want to send a donation by mail. You don't want to do it electronically. You don't want anybody spying on what you're doing. Fine. Check, money order. Doesn't matter. But we need you, folks. And you need us. I am not going to compromise the mission of this network. I cannot be bought and sold. I am not a whore. Thank you for being here today. We'll try to return to somewhat normal, mind-numbing programming with all the associated problems. But we're looking for solutions, and we've spelled it out. We've dissected the problem ad nauseum. And I want to be around for a few victories. I want to be popping champagne corks when we start to beat these bastards' ears right back, pin them right back to their skulls. All right, thanks for being here. Please, folks, donate. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.